Page 520, Perak Lamed Hey, Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, Re'u, Kara Hashem, Bishem, Bitzalel, Ben Uri, Ben Chur, Lamate Yehuda. The opening for the Bali Medrash is on the word Bishem, because it could be read without it, right? Moshe says to the Jewish people, to the Bnei Yisrael, see that God has called Bitzalel. Instead, it says, see that God has called by name. And then that's the et nachta, means the pause there. Whose name did he call? Bitzalel, Ben Uri, Ben Chur, Lamate Yehuda. This is what the Medrash comes to on this discussion, the discourse that we'll soon see in the Sfat Emet as well. The pasuk that we need, sort of the controlling pasuk that the Medrash will use in order to try to understand why it is that the Torah used the word Bishem, and understand this is not a literary question, Lahav Tlei Avdalot. We're not asking a question of exegesis, what does the word mean definitionally? We're asking why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu include that expression in order to discuss or mention Bitzalel, who was, don't forget, the builder, the chief builder of the Mishkan. Its design was already provided for by the Almighty, to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. But this is going to be his role, right? He's going to be filled with the spirit of Hashem, etc., Ruach Elokim, Chochma Tvuna, right? Dat, right? V'chol Malach, okay. The controlling pasuk is here on our source sheet from the book of Yeshayahu. It's the Haftorah that we read on Shabbos Nachamu. The end of it. Ve'al mita damyuni ve'eshve yomar kadosh. Se'u maro meinechem ure'u mi vara ele hamotzi v'mispar tzva'am l'chulam b'shem yikra me'rov onim v'amitz koach ish lo ne'edar. Now to whom will you compare me that I should be equal? Says the Holy One. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is referred to as Kadosh. Lift up your eyes. Se'u marom einechem. Lift up your eyes, meaning on high. And look. Uru'u. Mi ba'vara ele. Who created these? Meaning the stars, meaning the cosmos. Hamotzi v'mispar tzva'am. Who takes out their host by number, lechulam b'shem yikra, calling each one by a name. Because of his great might and because he is strong in power, no one is missing. Me'rov onim v'amitz koach ish lo ne'edar. Right? Okay. The Medrash. Shmot Rabba. Re'u kara Hashem b'shem. See that God has called by name. Et nachta, which is the equivalent of a semicolon. A pause. Davar acher. One of the explanations. Ve'al mit damyuni ve'eshve yomar kadosh sumer meneichem uru mi vara ele. Line 10. Says the Medrash. Bizchut mi nivru ele toldot hashamayim ve'aretz. On in whose merit were these, the stars, created? In the merit of toldot shamayim the chronicle, the genealogy of the heavens and the earth, in whose merit? Remember, the pasuk said, lift up your eyes and see who created these. These is the stars. So, in the merit of me, in the merit of who, what were these? Meaning, what is these? Toldot shamayim va'aretz, the whole chronicle, the whole story, the chronology of heaven and earth. When you look up at the cosmos, that's what you see. Uvizchut mehim omdim. In whose merit do they stand? Bizchut, in the merit of Eile. Mi bara Eile. Eile shemot b'nei Yisrael. Ve'eile bizchut mehim omdim. Right? In the pasuk, it's really ve'eile shemot b'nei Yisrael. In the merit of who do these stand? Bizchut Eile ha'idot v'achukim v'hamishpatim. Again, because the words mi vara ele is demonstrative. Look up your eyes, raise up your eyes on high and see these. So literally it means the cosmos. But the Medrash reads it as, in whose merit were the cosmos made? In the cosmos, in the merit of the Jewish people, who are called ve'ele, as if the Torah was pointing. And these are the names of the Jewish people. In whose merit is the Jewish people? In the merit of the eidot, ele, these, eidot, chukim, and mishpatim, edicts, statutes, laws and statutes. Yeah? Yeshaya, also from the same place. The same chapter. Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am l'chulam b'shem yikra. He takes out them out, their host of their number. He calls each one by a name. And look at the importance again of names. V'katuv echad omer, another pasuk, which a pasuk we're very familiar with. I reproduced it for you, lines 24, 25. We say it every day in davening, in the Hallelukas. Right? L'chulam shemot yikra. Monem yispar l'kochovim l'chulam shemot yikra. He counts the numbers of the stars, and he calls them by a name. Ketzad yitkaimu shnei ketuvim elu. How are both of these true? In one place, on line number 4 on our page, the book of Yeshayahu says that God calls all of them b'shem, in by a name. In the pasuk that we read every single day, it's l'chulam, to all of them, shemot yikra. They each have individual names. How are both of these true? Line 13. Ella, k'she'akadosh baruch mevakish likrotam ke'echad, hu korei l'kulam shem echad. When God wants to call all of them as one, he calls them all by one name. All of the stars. U'chshehu korei l'chol echad ve'echad bishmo, hu korei oto. When he wants to call each one of them by their name, he will call them by a name, such as Michael and Gavriel. It sounds like what he was referring to, if you look carefully, on line 3 and 4, doesn't make clear that it's referring to stars. Line 25 is about stars, but line 4 is really about something else, maybe. Look up and see, maybe not with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. So sometimes God calls them all together, sometimes he calls them individually. L'kach ne'emar l'chulam shemot yikra. That's in line 25. Ein li el lemalon, minayin af lematon, shenema re'u, kara shem, b'shem, Bitzal El. Right? You see, even down below, sometimes God will call someone by their individual name. And whose individual name did he use? Bitzal El. Note, Michael, Gavriel, Bitzal El. Okay? This is a very mysterious medrash, I grant you. And the job of the super commentary of the Sfat Emet is to try to make sense of what exactly are Chazal trying to convey here, and how did they find it sourced on page 520 on Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Lamed, where Moshe says to the Bnei Israel, see, as in look up and see. But here, see that God has called by name. Who was he called by name? Bitzalel, a man. A man who has a lineage and a heritage and a task to perform a particular skills. The two psukim that were marshaled here are two psukim about the naming of a group of something by one name, or a group of something each by their individual names. We'll come to it now presently, hopefully make it clearer. The other thing we saw here is a certain chain, that lift up your eyes and see who created these. The Medrash reads it as not who did it, which is God, but in what merit were these made. And who is that? The merit of Bnei Yisrael. Why the merit of Bnei Yisrael? And the merit of the Torah. There's something cyclical. It's almost a, you could call it, what I dubbed it, I think the Sfat Emet is going after, which is a chain of existence. So let's try to understand it on our level. Okay? So we'll look here at the Sfat Emet, line 31. First, he quotes the Medrash, exactly as we saw it. Bemedrash Reu Kara Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalel Etc. V'Almiti Dam Yuni V'Eshveh Imkain Yomar Kadosh Se'u Marom Einechem V'Chulei Masa Breshit Eile B'Zchut Eile Shemot B'Nei Yisrael. The creation, line 32, Membet is Masa Breshit. Oh, sorry, no, it's not. That's my mistake. Mi Bara Eile, not Masa Breshit. Take that back. Sorry, mi bara eile, it's directly from the Medrash still. Bizchut eile shemot b'nei Yisrael. Eile hachukim v'mishpatim, etc. Where am I? Lifamim b'shem yikrav, lifamim shemot. Sometimes b'shem, sometimes shemot. Ayin sham kol ha'inyan. See it over there, try to make sense of the Medrash. Now, line 33. Now the Sfat Emet talking, based in the world of Chazal in this Medrash, and hopefully it will become clear. Kihinei. Hasagat Hashem Yitbarach mitzad ha'etzem eino be'efsharut. To understand, to perceive, to understand God, may he be blessed, from his essence is impossible. We cannot understand Hashem. He is beyond our explication. Rak, only in one way. Al yedei hanhagato yidbarach et haolam, labit poel Hashem. The only way we can get there to understand anything about how God runs the world is to look, to actually observe the acts of God. K'mosh katuv, se'u marom einechem v'chulei, mi bara eile. Look up, lift up your eyes, and look who created these. Shehu achar hatzimtzum shel ahester v'achdut ha'ne'elam b'hitpashtut ha'nigle v'nikra eile. Try to explain this as best I can. The world that we see is a world in which God's presence, in order for it to be able to exist, the world of necessity could only exist if God would permit his own self-contraction. This is a very well-known mystical doctrine, and Rav Soloveitchik in the Halachic Man writes it up as a mathematical equation. Infinity plus any finite number equals infinity. It does not really retain an independent existence. It's a mystery. Therefore, how could the world, which is finite, how could it come into existence according to our tradition? Breshit bara Elokim, Ereshmaim v'aretz. And according to our tradition, the world is finite. It is not eternal, neither in the past nor in the future. But if God is infinite and created something finite, then infinity plus finitude equals infinity. So from a philosophical or mathematical perspective, there shouldn't be a world. Comes along the doctrine of Tzimtzum. The Rav writes about this. This was my original access to it in the Halachic Man and various other essays. And this was the Sfat Emet is referring to here. God, as it were, engages in what's called Tzimtzum, so to speak, self-contraction. He makes a space for the world. He's not separated from it to the point where he's not interacting with it, but he allows it to exist in a certain way by self-contracting himself. The of necessity, what occurs as a result of that is God is more and more hidden within a natural order that seems as if it works independent of God. The Sfat Emet says, you want to try to understand God, you're never going to get there. From the essential essence, what is God, who is God, we can't know. Where all we have, the best we can do is the question, me, who? But all we can come to with the question is, mi vara eile. Who? We'll never answer the question, who? That's Hashem, we don't know. We don't get it. We don't really understand God. Bara eile. But we can point, demonstrative, or look at the world around us. So he says, that question can only be asked, acharat tzimtzum shel ahester v'achdut hane'elam, and the unity that is God, Hashem Echad, the unity of God is hidden so much in what? In myriad details of the universe. Layers of complexity upon complexity. I'm speaking about this on Shabbos, so it'll sound somewhat familiar, but this is one of the directions I'm planning to go, hopefully, in one of the drushes. Hopefully it'll be successful. But it's hidden. And what do you have instead? The expansiveness, the expansion of that which is revealed, which is called Eile. Because if something is Eile, you can point to it and say these things. And on account of this were the Jewish people created. Amzu yatsarti li, as the pasuk in Yeshaya says elsewhere, Mem Gimel, I created this world, I fashioned this nation rather for me, for my sake. Livarer malchutu yitbarach, in order to clarify God's dominion, God's rulership, ulekasher in the world. Ulekasher olam be'olam, to connect a world to a world. This is a more complicated point that I can explain now in the limited time we have, but let's just say, to connect a world that is totally mystical and foreign and alien to the existence that we have, to this existence. So comes the Jewish person and says, there's another dimension of existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really running the world. He's hidden in nature, and he acts sometimes in history, and he acts sometimes in our lives, whether we feel it or we recognize it or not. We have a role to play, etc. HaPratim BeHaKlal. We are the details within the general principle, the generality. Shehabriya, because creation, the world. Al yedei avodat bnei Yisrael, yesh la dveikut v'hitkashrut. Through the service of the Jewish people in the world, through what we do, our mitzvot, our representation, so to speak, of God in the world, we are the ones who create a connection between the world and Hashem. We help foster that connection. We've seen this many times. Kulam b'vnei Yisrael. All of it is connected to the Jewish people. Ubnei Yisrael b'hatorah, v'hatorah b'hakadosh baruch hu. There's a cyclical nature of what is going on here. Right? Everything is connected. Everybody connected to the Jews. The Jewish people connected to the Torah. The Torah connected to Hashem. The Jewish people are also called holy ones. Line 40, the next page. V'neshama b'nei Yisrael nikru kodesh. Kimoshe Katuv Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Flip back to the fourth verse side. Look at line three. Ve'al mi tadam yuni ve'eshveh yomar kadosh. To whom can you compare me, says God, and I will be considered somehow equal to them. Yomar kadosh. Says the Sfarimet, you know who else is called kadosh? The Jewish people are called kadosh. We don't mean it exactly the same way as Hashem, but we have, there's some parallel in the language here. Aval, nishtalchu ba'olam hazeh lahalot kol abruim. We were sent into this world in order to elevate the rest of the creatures, the rest of creation. Vizehu haremez. This is the hint of what it means at the beginning of the Torah, in the first Rashi in the Torah, which is really a quote from the Medrash itself, which is the famous question, Ma tam patach bibreshit? Why did the Torah start with Breshit, namely the Pasuk Breshit, or even more than that, the whole story of Breshit? Why is it necessary? They don't learn a mitzvah directly from it. Says the Sfar Emet. You know that original question? What's the answer given? Bishvil koach ma'asav higid la'amo. In order to tell, to speak of, that's the pasuk that's quoted there, the power of his works, like ma'asa breshit, the power of God's works, the work of breshit, or the actions of breshit, higid la'amo, did he tell to his nation? Why did he tell it to us? Says the Sfar Emet here essentially, because that's our function. Our function is to represent the fact that God created the world. That this world that looks so physical and corporeal, that is finite, that is mortal, etc., that we are mortal, we are fragile, but we're representing the Almighty. And I would submit, I don't know if you would agree, but certainly in the realm of the Rambam writes, in the very famous censored passage of the Mishneh Torah, that there may be other errant religions that are not our religions. They're not our religion, but they took certainly certain core ideas from us and helped to promulgate those ideas in the world. The Ein Kan Makom Laharich. Now's not time to elaborate on it. But it's a fascinating idea. I don't know if the Sfarimet would go that far. The Rambam definitely says that. But what does he say? He says, all right, now let's go back to the original question. The original question of the sages when they open up the Chumash is, why do we need this story? Answer, of course you need the story. Because the story is to tell us we are called to do something. What's that? Connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh, to the fact that we are Kadosh. We're connecting the world to Hashem. We are that bridge. And that's what he says, line 41, Ukvar katafti bezeh pamim rabot. I wrote this many times, 42. Uve'et kabalat hator, nitkachu b'nei sov, aluli mekoma ha'amiti. Kodesh la'Hashem. We became sanctified unto God. Right? At the moment of receiving the Torah. Achein, however. Achar hachet, shenemar achein, ke adam timutun. After the sin, alas, we will die like human, like mortals, i.e., we were on the level of being Kodesh. We were called, as it were, Kodesh Lashem, which, by the way, is the, just as an aside, on the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, what did he have on his frontlet, on the tzitz? Kodesh Lashem. The aspiration that we will be Kodesh unto Hashem, belonging to Hashem, and the Sfar Emet is hinting that when you saw in the pasuk from Yeshaya at the beginning, Yomar Kadosh, it means Hashem, but we're his, to use the term advisedly, the plenipotentiaries of the Almighty in the world, reminding the world there is a God who created the world. What do you see here? After the sin, we're just like all the other mortals. Hutzrach, the sin of the golden calf, demoted the Jewish people. At Kabbalah Torah, we got to a zenith, but we dropped back down. Achein ki adam temutun, hutzrach lavsor liyot hatikun.
When he says, achein ki adam temutun, doesn't he refer to it?
You'll die just like man.
Right, so that doesn't go back to the original
one? It goes back to the original, so you borrow the term, the original sin of Adam and Eve. Right. You will die like the mortal, like the man, like Adam.
Right.
Okay, because when Adam Arishan is created initially, when the human being is created, male and female created them, apparently, according to Chazal, they were meant to be immortal. It's hard for us to understand, because we understand the world so differently in terms of rates of decay and the like. But somehow, that was apparently the original plan. Why does it fall apart? Because the gift, the terrible gift that we have, which we love and hate at the same time, is free will. Yep. So we made a bad choice. Humanity made a bad choice. How was it corrected? Kabbalah HaTorah. We received it. Kodesh LaHashem. We're on the highest possible level. In fact, Chazal do say that we, for a time period, the Jewish people were freed from death itself. When did it come back? Chet HaEgel. Now watch what the Sfar Emet's about to do. Okay? Because all this is like disparate. So how does the whole thing draw together? Watch this. Achen, achar achet, shenemar achen ke'adam temutun, hutzrach lachzor liyot atikun bebechinat ma'aseh breishit. After the sin of the golden calf, there needed to be a fixing. And the fixing had to be an act of creation, just like the act of creation of the universe. Only the creation of the universe already took place. So what was left to create? Line 46, v'zeh inyan ha-mishkan. That's what the Mishkan's for. Shemechuvan neged ma'aseh breishit, that is compared to and is as against the creation of the universe itself. Kemo shekatuv b'midrashim, many midrashim about this idea. V'zeh shekatuv v'yakhel Moshe, the fact that it says Moshe gathered the people together, klapei ma'aseh katuv mikodem, what it said earlier, ki parua, who means they are unhinged. They're running around. That's the description that's given in the Torah at Chet Egel, that Aaron tells Moshe, look, they were unhinged. They were right, beside themselves, right? Hushnita mehem ha'achdut shehaya lehem mikodem. They had unity. The unity fell apart. They were parua, right? They were all messed up. They were running in all directions. So now what does Moshe do? The first step to build the Mishkan is Parshat Vayakel, starting with Vayakel Moshe, is to bring them back. V'katavru makom acher, we wrote elsewhere, sheish achdut haba mikibutz hapratim. There's a unity that comes from drawing all the details together into a cohesive whole. Ayin sham, be'inyan am echad, mefuzar umuforad. That's evocative of Megillah. Shezeh kochan shel b'nei sabagalut. That is the power of the Jewish people in Galut. We are one nation, even when we are scattered and spread apart. Aval mikodem hayam mamash achdut, gamur, kimo lamala. But initially, originally, at one time, meaning in the Halcyon days, just after the Torah was given, before the sin, the Jewish people were so unified. We were so together, remember? Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar, the famous quote from Rashi, from the Medrash, ke'ish echad b'lei v'cha, like one human being with one heart. It didn't come back to that, ever. That was the one so far. But Moshe's trying. And that's before they were mamash. They were together, just like on high. Line 49, highlighted. Uva olamot tachtonim nimtza achdut li'itim. Once in a while, in the lower realms, the lower worlds, we live in the lower world, there is a unity that comes about. Kemosh ketuv pa'amim, shemot u'pa'amim b'shem. Like the Medrash says, sometimes God calls out with shemot. Sometimes God calls out b'shem. What's the difference? Shemot is names plural. Shem is one name, bespeaking unity. Dehainu, kshayeshid galut shmo yidbarach, when there is a revelation of God's name in the world, then it can be b'shem. When it's not, then it's b'shemot. Umi'ein zeh nimtza b'libo b'nei Yisrael. This you find in the hearts of every Jew. She'ein lecha adam she'ein lo sha'ash amit orer bo ratzon u'ptichat alev l'shem yitbarach. You will not find a single human being, a single Jew, who will not have an hour, a period of time where they awaken within themselves a certain desire and an openness of their heart to Hashem. Aval kodem achet hayu dvukin tamid ba'achdut. Before the sin, they were all connected. They were all unified. They were all cleaved together as a people, spiritually speaking. V'charkach hayah achdut al yedei hayud gimel pratim she'it nadvu. According to Chazal, there are 13 basic ingredients that were brought together to build, 13 basic elements brought together to build the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan. All right? And that brought back the Achdut, the unity. Shekibutz Hayud Gimel Oleh Gamkein Echad. It's a very nice idea. The sages have this idea that there are 13 basic elements or ingredients, whatever you want to say, component parts brought together, basic materials, actually is the word I was looking for, I'm sorry, to build the Mishkan. It so happens that the 13 elements, the gematria of 13, is the same as the gematria for echad, for one, oneness. Mm-hmm. I just repeat again, like I say every time I quote a gematria over here. I hope it's the Sfadimet's way. So how I understand the Sfadimet, this is a rhetorical flourish. It's so that when you say Shema next time, you think, what does echad mean? It means that when the Jewish people fell away from their achdut, they were able to come back together by taking 13 materials from the world and building a single building together. A Mishkan, a building which was a building of unity, which not only meant that God in his unity would appear there, as it were, in terms of his presence, but that they would be unified. They all paid in, so to speak. They were all part of the project. It would be at the center of their encampment, and that would unify them to enable them to what? Step back onto the stage of history as plenipotentiaries, representatives of the Almighty himself. V'lachein ketiv, I'm on line 52. Lachen k'tiv lifamim vayasu v'lifamim vayas. Therefore, if you look through this parsha, you're going to see it's going to say vayasu, they did, and vayas, they did as if they were one. It's oscillating back and forth. V'zeshekatav Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Re'u kara b'shem. See that God called not b'shemot, but b'shem. She'er alahem, that God, he showed them, ki gam ata nimtza behem ha'achdut, k'shema'orin et libam la'Hashem itbarach. He, as it were, said, and now back to the pasuk, Moses said to the Jewish people, see that God called by name. Who did God call by name? Bezalel. Who is that person? A person with an incredibly open heart to be in a relationship with God. He found that. He got there. Well, not discovered it, but he developed it. He is on that level. We can all be on that level. He's going to head the project. We're going to go out together. We're going to do this. Now back to the Medrash. We don't have time already. Of course, I have two other pieces here, which to me I found to be astounding, but we won't have time to already see those. But maybe they'll come up over Shabbos too. Who knows? But now back to the Medrash, because I always like to plug it back in. We have a few minutes left. What had the Medrash done? The Medrash basically had said that it's trying to understand what does it mean that Moses is the Jewish people demonstratively, like he says, look that God, let's see that God called by name. Who did he call by name? We find out that out next. Bezalel. Why do I have to say that? Just say, see that God, or just say, God called out to Bezalel. God chose Bezalel. See that God has chosen. So look at it. Examine him. Hold him up. But how was he called? B'shem. So the Medrash then goes into this idea of the interconnection, if you will, between all the elements of creation. The Mi Bara Eile of the cosmos is really in whose chut? In the chut of Klal Yisrael. The chut of Klal Yisrael is in the chut of the Torah. And the Torah connects us back to Hashem. Something cyclical going on. And the idea of the oscillation between being able to call out B'Shem or B'Shemot. When we get to the idea of B'Shem, we're at the, so to speak, at the point of the unity, right? And that's the idea that Jewish people are being called to that here in the building and the construct of the Mishkan. To come back to this idea that the chain of existence, that the holy ones should go back to where they were before, that's us. How do we get there? We need to have the unity of it. Around what? A single construct. And the beginning of the actual building process, this was all the amassing of the materials. What's the beginning of the building itself? Is Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem. The name as such, and then from there, Bezalel heads it up, and they're all oscillating back and forth between Vayasu and Vayas to build it. That's something to consider. We better stop here. I can't do the other one in short enough time. Okay.